Since 1889, Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service has been a trusted name in the Richland Center area, providing compassionate care and support for families during difficult times. For assistance, call 608-647-4808. Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, trusted by the community for over 135 years.
If I repeat myself, it's 'cause I've nothing else to do. And I'm not too sure that I'm still over you. I'm not too sure that I'm still over you.
Happy trails to you until we meet again.
Well, my good friend and neighbor, this is Phil Nee, and I hope all your trails are happy. We'll talk to you next hour with some community conversation on The Morning Show from WRCO-FM, Richland Center, Wisconsin. 36 degrees at 9 o'clock on the Wirtz Floor and Home Thermometer. This hour's news update from ABC is sponsored by Pamela's Fine Jewelry, a full-service jewelry store featuring a wide variety of styles, and the Phoenix Center, family fun at its best. There's always something for everyone, including bowling, legendary pizza, and video games.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. It's 5 days since the CEO of United Healthcare was shot and killed in New York City. And ABC's Eric Katursky says authorities still have not determined a motive or identified the suspect.
United Healthcare is declining to answer questions posed by ABC News, including whether the company has offered to contribute to the reward money for information leading to an arrest. Detectives are optimistic they're closing in, but heading in now to a sixth day of searching, they still do not have an identity of the suspect or anyone in custody.
An amended lawsuit in New York accuses Jay-Z, real name Sean Carter, of sexually assaulting a 13-year-old girl in 2000 alongside Sean Diddy Combs. Both deny the allegations. Combs is in jail awaiting trial on sex trafficking charges. He has pleaded not guilty. Russia's granted political asylum to the ousted Syrian leader Bashar Assad, and more of President-elect Trump's cabinet picks continue meeting with lawmakers on Capitol Hill. This is ABC News. The end of an era for Taylor Swift as her record-setting tour comes to a close, and ABC's Allison Kosick says these shows brought in big bucks.
The tour started in March of 2023 in Glendale, Arizona, becoming the highest-grossing tour of all time, pulling in an estimated $2.2 billion. Her concerts, which attracted an estimated 11 million fans, with the Federal Reserve even crediting the megastar with boosting the U.S. economy.
Today in New York City, the jury resumes deliberations in former Marine Daniel Penny's criminal trial. A judge dismissed a more serious charge of second-degree manslaughter against Penny after the jury was unable to reach a decision. Penny still faces a lesser charge of criminally negligent homicide in the subway choking death of Jordan Neely. And South Korean justice officials have placed a travel ban on President Yoon. Police are investigating his declaration of martial law last week. Brian Clark, ABC News.
Good morning, this is Pamela at Pamela's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Spring Green. The Christmas holiday market will be here Thursday from 4 to 8 for your extra hours of shopping for the perfect gift. Stop by Pamela's, check out our holiday decorations, beautiful jewelry selections. Think Christmas, think Pamela's, where we will wrap your gift for free in beautiful downtown Spring Green.
The best place to catch a Friday night fish dinner is the Phoenix Center. Dine in or carry out delicious deep-fried or baked fish. Fish is served from 4 to 8 p.m. Fridays only. The Phoenix Center serves food and fun every day. The pizza is out of this world, and after a great meal, make it an even better night with a game of bowling. The Phoenix Center is family fun at its best, open at 11 a.m. Monday through Sunday. The Phoenix Center, this area's go-to spot for good times and great food.
WRCO Hometown Weather Watch is sponsored by the Schultz Mortgage Team. Call 608-738-8765. Learn how you can own a home without needing 20% down.
A high of 47 today with west winds at 5 to 15. Partly cloudy tonight, a low of 25. Tuesday, partly to mostly cloudy and cold and cooler. A high of 31. For Tuesday night, mostly cloudy and chilly. Flurries possible, a low of 18. Wednesday, 23 with scattered snow showers possible. Thursday, a high of just 12. And a high of 30 with a wintry mix perhaps Friday night. For Saturday, 36 degrees. Ever wondered if it's too late to become physically active? At Simons Recreation Complex, they believe you're never too old to exercise. More and more older adults are proving this every day. Before you start, remember to take some precautions. Check with your doctor before beginning any exercise program. Start slow. Don't try to do too much too fast. Choose activities that are fun and suit your needs. Wear comfortable clothing and footwear. And always take time to warm up and cool down. Stretch slowly to avoid injuries. Simons Recreation Complex is proud to be a part of Silver Sneakers, Silver and Fit, and Renew Active programs. These top fitness programs are designed specifically for older adults, ensuring your safety and enjoyment. Call or stop today. With your Medicare Supplement Insurance card, you may be eligible for a free membership, including all classes. Discover why many of the members call Simons Recreation Complex their personal fountain of youth. Let them help you increase your energy and decrease the aches and pains of aging. Partner with Simons Recreation Complex and Richland Center for a healthier, happier you. Remember, you bring the commitment, and they have the means to make it happen. Simons Recreation Complex, where age is just a number and fitness is for everyone.
Getting a great price is always satisfying, but enjoying quality service and already great auto and home coverage is the icing on top. Hi, this is Julie at State Farm in Richland Center. We will help you choose coverage that fits your needs and budget, in addition to our convenient day and night support to keep you going. All of this is especially important these days. Get a quote today and see for yourself at juliecarons.com or send us a text at 608-647-3632. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
No need to travel for exceptional care. At Gunderson Boscobel, we collaborate with other providers and healthcare systems to deliver safe, effective treatment plans close to home. Whether you need specialized IV medications such as chemotherapy or antibiotic therapy, port or PICC maintenance, or blood product transfusions, we make it easier to get the personalized care you need. Gunderson Boscobel, bringing love plus medicine and outpatient nursing services to you.
Welcome to the morning show and a new week of shows here and guests in our studios at WRCO Radio. This time it's time for our monthly visit with River Valley District Administrator Lauren Glassbrenner. Good morning, Lauren. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great.
Awesome.
I am amazed at the weather. I am amazed that we have the weather that we had this weekend. I was able to hit a hike, and it was kind of muddy even in the woods on Sunday when I was on my hike. Talked to my dad on the way over today, and they're able to use a boat launch down on the Mississippi River even to get their boats in one more time. So beautiful weather like this gets people out and running and kind of part of the communities again. It's really nice to see it this time of year.
Did you have some slippery roads in your district this morning?
You know, nobody really called it in. My slippery road was, yeah, I have to take Bear Valley Road, and then I take B&G to get out of the hills and up by Bear Valley to get down to district office. And there was a couple slippery spots, that's for sure. So I definitely slowed down myself. But we didn't hear any problems with buses. Thank goodness, buses are big and heavy. So they didn't have any problems. But I did hear from you as well as other radio stations saying, you know, be a little extra cautious on those back roads if any of that condensation freezes on those roads.
Well, let's transition then. I know one of the things you wanted to talk about was policy on some of those snow days. And so far, we've not had to test the policy, have we?
No, we have not had to test that policy on snow days, but it's coming. And so for the whole community out there, as well as parents, it's really good for you to know that for a district administrator to get into those big calls on weather, there's a definite process that that we go through. And so decisions to delay or close happen really early in the morning. But the first thing that we have to keep aware of is that we're tracking minutes at a district office. We have to have a certain number of minutes into our school year, or else the Department of Public Instruction gets really upset with us. So where they used to say it had to be 180 school days, those are now converted in the new laws to minutes. And so we have to have a certain number of minutes that we're watching. So for us to take a snow day, if we don't take it as a virtual snow day where kids are still working, a true snow day means I can't count those minutes. And so we're really trying to work hard to make sure that we understand in our calendar how many minutes we are allowed to kind of allocate for kind of those great days off, where we really hope that kids are out in the snow, they're having fun outside, they're enjoying nature and taking a step away from the responsibilities of being at school. So that's the first thing. Just know that those minutes are there. The second thing is snow days happen. Really, we're starting to get stuff from the National Weather Service on the day before. So let's say on Thursday this week, again, entirely fictional, it's not happening, but on Thursday this week, they expect an entire big snow front to come across that could give us a big dumping of 12 inches. That means on Wednesday night, I'm already going through a bunch of kind of online meetings with the National Weather Service so I can predict exactly how many inches and when it's going to hit the area and what's going to happen. So that's my first step, is to really think about the night before and then get up really early in the morning. Those conversations also are happening with my administrative team and my busing company. For me, it's Lamers. For other districts, it's for the first school or co-busing. But those districts are having those big conversations with those people because we want to make a decision before any driver would have to get up and get out and get on those roads too. So then after we go through that, then we check in with our local radars and then we start to make phone calls and I start to really investigate. So I'm up at 4:30 and I'm calling contacts in the morning over by Sauk for me. I'm calling people in Richland Center. I'm calling people up by Dodgeville. I'm calling people down by Riverdale. And we're starting those not only with superintendents, but other folks, maybe employees of ours, that can look out their window and say, oh yeah, looking really bad. Or yeah, I drove the highway and it was really tough. So those kind of things start to happen. And then by 5 o'clock, I'm trying to make a decision. And I know that sounds really early, but we do try to really make a decision by 5 o'clock because there's a bunch of steps that I have to then get ready to make sure it's posted out there by 5:30. So 5 o'clock decision gets me to a point of either delay or cancel. And that's where I jump in with the teachers, the support staff, the custodial staff, the kitchen staff, the busing staff. And then we inform WKOW Channel 27. We do WISC Channel 3. We have to contact WMTV Channel 15, as well as then we call Phil Nee. We call WRCO. We call WRDB. And then we call WDMP, the dump. So we're really jumping into radio stations and TV stations because many parents and grandparents, as they get up, turn on local media. And we really appreciate your relationship with us in that sense that we still have that. At the same time, then we have emails that go out to what we call our Sky Alert message system, but it goes out to every parent in an email, a text, and a phone call format so that all parents are getting this notification. And in the event that we then decide what to do with that day later, we've made sure that everybody knows, from media to companies to employees and all our parents. And then we jump through that day. That doesn't mean that the district administrator still doesn't hop in his Ford F-150 and get to the office, because we still have stuff to do. So we still have staff that hit the campus, so we still try to get there. So just so y'all know, I'm still working. Other people are still working, but we're trying to keep those kids and teachers as safe as possible because we don't want them to have dangerous road conditions or not be safe. So that's kind of the process.
You talked about dealing with your weather sources the day before. We're seeing more schools make a decision by the end of the previous day than we used to, aren't we?
We are. And I think that's due to a couple factors, Phil. I think one of those factors is that the National Weather Service can predict more correctly, I guess it'd be the West. They can predict, and correct are kind of a little different, but they're giving us better information. And so we're able to take that historical information and try to make those decisions. I'm just going to give you my personality on this one. I'm still scared of that. I'm still leery of making a decision and saying, yep, school's off for River Valley next Thursday, because I've been told on Wednesday. And then it shifts to the north. I get 1 inch of snow and parents are just irate because their kids sitting at home. They're sitting at home watching their kids and there's no snow. If it's going to be a snow day, I want it to truly be a good snow day. I want it to be deep enough that a kid can go grab a sled or hop in a snowmobile and really have a fun day in that part of nature that we really appreciate here in Wisconsin.
What time does the first bus roll into the River Valley District? Do you know?
Yeah, it's right around 5:30.
It is.
So
yeah.
We start people warming up buses right around 5:30. So that's why I need to make those decisions really quickly. So that's why I try to have that decision made by 5 o'clock so that I can get the communications done by 5:30 and get those emails and alerts out to the employees. Yeah.
Your policy in the district, a lot of times, if it does improve, let's say it's cleaned up by 9 or 10 o'clock, you still do sometimes have practices and extracurriculars.
Correct, we do. So if it does get cleaned up, if there was an activity after school, our policy lists that, hey, you should stay at home and you get the whole day. But once in a while, you're right, Phil, that let's say it's cleaned up by noon, we can get kids safely to the high school, then we will call a practice or such if we need to. For sure.
Yeah. Or early outs, you don't.
Yes. No. Early right. outs, you don't. You just, if somebody gets sent home early, we just presume that the rest of the day is done and all cancellations happen to all practices and events. Whether it's a school board event, community event, the buildings are closed. Plain and simple. So even a rec league can't come in. It's the end of the school day, so the buildings are closed because I don't have anybody to staff it at that point because I want them to get home and be safe too.
For early outs, it used to be you had to feed them lunch for that to count as an official day. Is that still the case, Lauren?
It is not. It really isn't about feeding them lunch, though I think that's really important that if we can get them some food, because for some kids, that's the meal that they're going to get for the day. So again, yes, we would try to do that if we could, but it's really not about the minutes being counted that way. Really, it's we can count every minute they're in the door now equals the minutes. It used to be that getting them lunch equaled the day when it had to be 180 days on the DPI websites and such, but now it's more minutes. So it takes away that lunch kind of qualifier in there.
What does the Old Farmer's Almanac say for weather?
Weather predictions this year, the Old Farmer's Almanac says it's going to be cold, wet, and white.
Oh,
I was like, cold, wet, and white. So that could be good, right? It could be cold and dry, or it could be wet and warm, right? So it could come in the form of rain, which we've seen recently where it rains a little bit. But that white one is a little bit of a concern because that's when it's cold and wet. And so if it gets white out there, we just really want to be careful. You guys know, around Richland, around Ithaca, Weston, River Valley, Riverdale, we've got some pretty steep hills out here in the drift list that we have to be careful of. So we don't want a bus to go off. We want to be really safe and cautious. And sometimes parents are really worried about that. Well, it wasn't anything up at Dodgeville. There wasn't any snow up by Dodgeville, Lauren. Well, that doesn't mean there wasn't some snow up by Ithaca, right? And we've got land in the River Valley School District north of Bear Valley up on Ithaca.
Right.
So if up by Lime Ridge, it's really snowy, I have to take that into consideration. Just I have to take the, you know, the River Valley down by Plain or, I mean, down by Arena. If it's flat and it's okay there, doesn't mean it's okay everywhere. So with a big district like River Valley, you make a decision based on the whole, not based on the little pockets of information I receive.
Indeed. Well, no offense. Hopefully we're not talking to you a lot this year.
No offense. I'd gladly not have any snow days, but I think the families and the kids for sure, as soon as it was snowing the other day, they were running down the hallway looking for me. Mr. G, is it going to be a snow day? Nope, we're not quite ready for a snow day yet. So it's coming. We know there'll be one or two. And sometimes they do them for extreme cold, right? Sometimes we do it for extreme ice. I'd really rather have just snow. I think extreme cold freezes pipes, and that worries me for families. Extreme cold makes me worry for families, but a good old-fashioned deep snow day, I think, is a fun thing for a district to still enjoy.
Last time you were here, we talked about the River Valley musical, Mean Girls, and you brought along some very talented cast members. I was very impressed by them, but they're putting that on. It's coming up this weekend.
It is coming up this weekend. So we will have the musical Mean Girls, which was written by Tina Fey, and she's famous from being a comedian. Mean Girls is a great show. It really talks. There's some great phrases in there that they're really kind of adding to it. There's a definite like list for who's in the in crowd and who's in the out crowd in the Mean Girls thing. But they also had that famous quote of we wear pink on Wednesdays. So it's that idea that there's a special group that has kind of more power at a high school that's within the basic plot of Mean Girls. And they all wear pink on Wednesdays. So this Wednesday, a lot of us will be wearing pink to honor the idea of Mean Girls coming our way. So Mean Girls will be produced and directed. Again, a huge shout out to Becky Schinker, our high school musical director and choir teacher. A huge shout out to Sarah Young, who's our artistic director. A huge shout out to Michael Stanek, who's our choreographer. That will be at our other venue. I guess it's not our venue, but our borrowed venue up at APT at Tower, and it will be up there on Friday, Saturday night, and then on Sunday as well. So we'll have productions throughout this entire upcoming weekend.
Good luck to the cast and crew.
Yeah.
I understand it's a hot ticket to get, too.
It is a hot ticket to get. They sell out really quickly, which is a good thing and also a bad thing, right? We're really excited that they sell out right away, but the venue that we have really only has about 250 seats, which makes it an incredibly intimate show. It's really fun to be a part of that. So the APT venue that we use at the American Players Theater is about a 250-seat house, and it's a really fun place to be. It's kind of in the round, if you will. It's a C shape, so part of the stage is right in the crowd, and that's really fun to be a part of. It's got professional lighting, professional seating, professional sound system. So all the kids are involved in all of those aspects of the show. So that's a really fun part. But then it's only 250 seats. And we probably could sell 500 seats for every show. But it sells out quickly, which is a good problem to have. But I've also heard from community members that it's a hard problem, right? You want to get people in to see your shows, Lauren, but there's no tickets left. You're right. There's no tickets left because they're so good. And it's also because we don't have a huge venue to put things in. So we just do our best. We wish the kids the best of luck, and we go on and do the best shows possible. And so we're excited to see Mean Girls. I'll be there Friday night for the opening show. And Cindy and I are really going to enjoy the time. It's going to be a great thing, a great show, and a great time for our community to once again celebrate the arts.
I'm guessing there are some families that might have an extra ticket once in a while. That happens.
They do. When people buy tickets, I think what happens is a lot of people buy blocks of tickets, right? They know it's going to be a hot commodity, so they jump in and buy a lot of tickets. So there's a lot of communication on Facebook, on social media between parents, like, hey, I need a show ticket for Saturday, or I need one on Sunday. Does anybody have an extra? They do a really good job of communicating between the parents and between the venue to make sure that we're getting everybody that really wants to be there a ticket. But that's hard. That's hard sometimes. And again, it's a great problem to have, to be so good that everybody wants to come see you. So I'm proud of all those kids, proud of the directors and the great things that they do.
Winter sports now underway, and you've got good participation, it looks like, Lauren.
We do. We've got great things happening. So our hockey co-op was out this weekend. They did a great job. I believe they threw that puck around, as they say, and they won 5-0. We had girls basketball JV tournament this weekend. Girls basketball is up and running with a new kind of energy in them. Boys basketball has been out, and they've been doing a great job remaining competitive in our area. We've got girls wrestling and boys wrestling. So we have a new sport at the high school. It's a division of wrestling, but we have a girls team and a boys team. And so that new girls team, I believe we're at Reedsburg, if I'm remembering right, at a tournament. So there's now girls wrestling tournaments separate from boys wrestling tournaments. And it used to be kind of like we had a few girls at the end of a boys tournament. Nope. Now it's an entire venue. So that's cool. Girls and boys wrestling are out there. Just a note on the boys wrestling. One of our state wrestlers from last year, he's a senior this year, Wyatt Knockreiner, had his 100th career victory this weekend. So
all right.
Congratulations to the Knockreiner family. There's a lot of them out there, but a huge shout out to Wyatt for doing such a great job. Again, we've got musical FFA. FFA just had a poinsettia and greenery sale, so that's been busy for them. They're getting ready to make sure everybody's adorned beautifully for the holidays. And then we've got our gymnastics team. They co-op with Barneveld. So lots of kids out there being involved in lots of things, which makes me a really happy guy.
So you co-op with Barneveld for gymnastics, sock for hockey?
Sock for hockey. Yep. And I think that's a really interesting thing. We co-op with Lodi for swimming in the fall. When you have a co-op, it's usually a district that's got interest, but maybe not the facility or the numbers to make a whole team. And I think in the rural areas, that's a really fun thing to keep those activities embedded in the kids' lives. We try to co-op with neighbors to make sure that we can field a team. You've seen that done with some football teams now where they're doing that, or they go from an eight-man team to co-op to an eight-man team to get enough of the numbers there. And I think that's a really good thing. As numbers in population in Wisconsin go down, numbers of children go down. So thus, to keep some of those exciting activities in those kids' lives, we need to co-op and kind of come together, collaborate to make sure those activities are still there for the kids. And we're excited about that. And those co-ops are things that we really appreciate in the rural areas. It's not so much a big deal in the, let's say, the Madison area or the Wausau, Milwaukee area, but it is certainly big for us in rural areas to make sure that the things are still happening for the kids.
I've seen numbers from some of the big schools, you know, where they've had trouble fielding, you know, girls basketball teams at more than one level, which is just unbelievable to me. If you have 2,000 students, you can't find 15 girls to play basketball, but that's kind of the case right now.
It is the case. And I think another piece that's hitting that is so many kids are picking a sport rather than three sports. We're seeing some individuals, and I'll just pick on one sport. Maybe I am a young lady and I'm really involved in volleyball, and I absolutely adore volleyball. So I'm going to summer camps in volleyball. I'm jumping into my local team in the fall for volleyball. But then in winter, I might choose to be on a traveling team for volleyball. And because that's so busy, so dedicated, I'm not in girls basketball then. And then maybe in the spring, I might hit up softball, but maybe not. Maybe I'm going to extend my season and just do weightlifting and get my body conditioned for summer rec volleyball again. So we're seeing a lot of kids focus in on a sport rather than multiple sports. I guess I could give an opinion that I think kids should be diverse. I think they should be involved in lots of different things, not only student leadership and activities, but also diverse athletics, because I think that rounds out their experience. Very few kids are going to become professionals within their athletic sport. And I'd love for them to be a part of multiple teams, to grow and learn with multiple teammates. But that's not my decision to make for every kid. And I think some of that where we see teams that are having a hard time fielding enough kids are also in a place where kids are choosing to do one thing rather than to diversify and be in many things.
At River Valley, you seem to have lots of kids that are involved in many things, you know,
yeah.
Student leadership, and we'll see them on the football field or the basketball court or the wrestling mat.
I think that's one of the great things about the Valley. I'm really proud of the way that our activities and athletics are continually being stretched. They're continually being pushed to kids with the belief system and the philosophy that the more you do, the better you are, right? In that sense of, again, my research, if you're involved in a sport, you do better at school. Ultimately, the kids are there for the academics, but if I can get them to be inspired in the academics based on being in an activity or an athletic event, that's a good thing. So we have an incredible array of programs that are organized and coordinated by Jamie Hegland, our athletic activity director. He does an incredible job of organizing not only these events, but the venue then, making sure that there's officials for that venue, making sure there's transportation for that venue. So some people will say, you know, how is that so busy? How is that such a job? Well, when you have these eight things that I just led off, and they're doing three or four events every week, and those events require transportation, officials, practice times, all the equipment, all the evaluation that goes with it, it's a lot of work. So for us to have all these great things for kids, we need to invest time and money into those too. So I think it's what keeps a school district running sometimes. I tease that my kids wouldn't have come to school if there wouldn't have been band, jazz band, pep band, all those things. They were bandos, as they say. But they maybe wouldn't have done as well in geometry if I hadn't said, hey, you got to get your geometry grade up, or I'm not going to let you sit in pep band and have fun for 3 hours on Thursday night. And I think those things motivate children sometimes, where we have to keep them involved in those activities to also keep them inspired in their academics.
Now, you talk about it's like a well-oiled machine or a jigsaw puzzle, but I've been there when gymnastics is going on at the same time as basketball, mm-hmm. and maybe there's a middle school game going on at River Valley Middle School, and you know, there's cars everywhere, and just coordinating all the officials and everything is just amazing.
It is amazing, and there's a lot of facility coordination with that. When you can think of, if you've got girls basketball happening away, but you've got boys basketball happening at home, but boys wrestling happening in a practice, but a gymnastics team that is going to have an event at your school. You've got to coordinate all of that. And you're right. There could be an extra 400 cars on our campus starting at 3:30 so that everything's prepped for the 5 o'clock, you know, whistle to be blown. So there's a lot that goes on into that. Again, of course, academics are first. Everybody knows that academics are first, but in the kids' eyes, sometimes that's not always the case. They need to be motivated by the activities and the athletics that keep them inspired in their academics. So we're excited for that. But again, those four A's in any district, the arts, the activities, the athletics, and the academics really pull everybody together. And I would even say in River Valley, we add a fifth one on with agriculture.
Sure.
Because there's so many kids involved still in local agriculture. So we're about a 5A system, and we work really heavily on keeping those things moving and motivated as we go through a school year.
Talking about Jamie Hegland, your activities director, but I know I read recently he and Joey Martin, who is the AD at Dodgeville, they've been working on looking at combining the Southwest Conference with the SWAL for more crossover games. Have you heard much about that, Lauren?
Yeah, those crossover games I think are really interesting for us to kind of think about and take up to WIAA. One of the things I like about WIAA is they coordinate our state level things, right? They're a very big organization, but they also are willing to listen to the folks out here in the field that are doing that hard work. And so when Jamie gets together with his colleagues to say, hey, I don't want to travel from Spring Green to Milton on a Friday night to play a team just to be competitive when I could travel from Spring Green to Lancaster, or I could travel over to Riverdale. And so they're constantly looking at, are we part of the SWC? Are we part of the SWAL? Are we part of all these, the Badger 10 or whatever they have? We really want to kind of keep the kids local so that they're part of teams and competition locally. And so I think they're always looking at different ways with the WIAA to combine ideas and efforts to keep everybody more centrally located. It's hard. I know it's hard work, but at least the WIAA is willing to listen. And if we have good leadership like Jamie and his colleagues around the area doing the hard work of trying to coordinate it, I'm proud that WIAA keeps their eyes open to it and their ears open to it so that they don't really get everybody grumpy based on the big state vision of what should be.
Well, it cuts down on transportation, too, if you have more localized non-conference games, too, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Transportation is a big part of this. Now, you guys have heard me talk about how it's hard to employ a staff anymore, right? We don't have the people applying to be teachers and to be professionals in our buildings. But you think about co-busing and lamers. They're very difficult to find enough bus drivers. So anybody that's sitting out there that would love to be a bus driver, I encourage you to get out there, take that quick lesson, take that licensing. It's really not as hard as you think. And to get out there and be involved, you can get paid to work from 2:30 to 8 o'clock and just be a bus driver and take a local team somewhere local. So again, that transportation does end up being a really big problem if we can't find that. So again, I talked about those high school sports. Don't forget, I also have middle schoolers that are on a basketball team in girls and boys, middle school wrestling teams, middle schoolers involved in all sorts of different things too. So that takes a bus themselves too. So if I have a bus going to Dodgeville, bus going to Riverdale, bus going over to Middleton Cross Plains, another one going up to Reedsburg, and I still have to have all of that happen at the same time as we've got 21 bus routes taking kids home at 3:30, that's a lot. So again, it's exciting, but Jamie's got to work. Our athletic director has got to work with our bus company daily and predict kind of weather and conditions and drivers to make sure that we're working hard there. So a huge shout out to anybody that's running a bus company or working as a bus driver. You are an incredible asset to our area, and we thank you for all the hard work and time you put in as well.
Lauren Glassbrenner, River Valley District Administrator, our guest on The Morning Show. We'll have more coming up.
We can't change the circumstances or magically erase the pain of loss, but we can listen and serve you with compassion and understanding at a time when compassion and understanding go a long way. I'm Darren Klingman of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service of Richland Center in Muscadet. Our promise to you is to be patient, considerate, and professional, serving you as you wish to be served. It's been our priority since 1889 at the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always always comes first.
The Richland Family Prescription Center's primary function is to fill your prescription accurately and to provide added value services to enhance your health. Filling your prescription is only the first step. Understanding your medication and the importance of compliance will greatly benefit your medication outcome. Whether it's a first-time visit or they've seen you before, the Prescription Center's friendly and knowledgeable staff is dedicated to providing you with a quality pharmacy experience, and they have built their reputation by going the extra mile to ensure your satisfaction. The Richland Family Prescription Center, your one-stop source for all of your prescription and healthcare needs. Your complete customer satisfaction is their top priority.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
This is Heather from the Creative Outlet Consigned Clothing Store, where our gift certificates are the perfect fit.
The Richland County Performing Arts Council presents Maggie May's Country Christmas Concert, December 15th at the Richland Center City Auditorium.
It's Christmas time and I can't wait.
Join us for an afternoon of festive fun at Maggie May's Country Christmas Concert. Let's celebrate the season together with some toe-tapping tunes and some great holiday classics. See you there! Get your tickets at eventbrite.com or rcpac.org for Maggie May's Country Christmas Concert at the Richland Center City Auditorium.
Season's greetings from Bob's Auto Body Collision Specialists. May your holiday season be filled with happiness, health, and safety.
Bex recognizes this week's player with heart, Luke Patterson from River Ridge High School, for his commitment and passion on the field and within the farming community.
Luke runs cross country and track and plays basketball. He's in National Honor Society, band, and FFA, and he loves to show cattle through 4-H.
What I enjoy the most is like every day, getting up, having to go feed them and take care of them, groom them.
Luke enjoys farming and the hard work that helps others.
The hard work that we consistently put in every day to keep our family farm running and then be able to put food on the table for not just ourselves, but a lot of people across the country.
He plans to get a degree in animal science and share that knowledge when he returns home to make farming a career.
Since I was little, I've always wanted to come back and farm. That's really the only job I ever wanted to do. Should hopefully be able to do that after I go to college and get a degree.
At Bex, we are and will remain farmers at heart.
Our friend Lauren Glassbrenner is our guest on the morning show today from WRCO Radio as we look at some things going on in the River Valley School District. Well, you're already looking ahead to the 25-26 calendar year, I think, aren't you?
We sure are. So we're looking at the 25-26 school calendar. And I mentioned earlier when we were talking about snow days that there's a required number of minutes that we have to put in. So no matter what calendar we put out there, I still have to meet the number of minutes within the calendar year for the Department of Public Instruction. So, yep, we're working ahead on that. But one of the things that's been really popular for school districts in the last 5 to 10 years is something called early release schedules, really. And it's a purposeful early release where the kids go home a little early. We get to count the minutes up until they walk out the door. So that's the minutes piece. But then the teachers are still under contract for the next hour and a half. And it allows us to really push a district ahead with the curriculum and academics within a district to have them work on data. Teachers are busy people, and I can't expect them to want to stay from 4 till 6 in the evening and just have meetings. It's also, I would be obligated to pay them. So what I'm looking at is a way for us to keep our staff together and to give them more opportunities for collaboration. So we have a new calendar that's coming up in the 25-26 school year that we've informed all parents about. But every Wednesday, very similar to many districts around us, again, like many around us, every Wednesday, kids will be released right around 2 o'clock. And so the bus routes will run at 2 o'clock, and kids will go home, but the teachers will be there for another hour and a half at least to have good conversations about what kids are learning, how do we know if they've learned it, what do we do if they haven't learned it and we have to repeat it, and how to really look at assessments and data and practices to make sure that the teachers are getting time to collaborate. We call those PLCs, or professional learning communities.
You're going to be instituting those for the first time then next year, it sounds like.
Correct. We've been using professional learning communities, but we've been doing it during release days, or we've been doing it during teachers' prep times, and that's been really difficult. You can imagine if you've got five people in an English department at a high school, they don't have the same time off during the day, and there's no time for them to get together to take a look at maybe River Valley High School's English ELA scores and really think about how to push kids ahead or how to respond to intervention that we may need for kids that are not achieving what we need them to achieve. So it's really about, if you think of every classroom as a company, it's about getting those CEOs or those corporate executive officers, our teachers, together for some really good collaborative time 1 week, 1 day a week in the afternoon. So it'll be Wednesdays at 2 o'clock. Yeah. And it really does allow us to push things ahead so that kids can continue to be challenged and work and proceed as they should.
You have a lot of school to work kids in your district too, don't you?
We do have a lot of school to work. So a lot of that's called youth apprenticeship, and that's coordinated by the state. That's by the Department of Work Development. I think it's the DWD, it's called. And they kind of have school to work guidelines that they give school districts. In our area, CESA 3, which is our cooperative education system out of Fenimore, they have a regional office down there. They help us coordinate youth apprenticeship experiences. So that gives a kid a chance to maybe look into the field of carpentry or look into the field of restaurant kind of management or even nursing. So your junior or senior year, if you have really started to decide what road you're going to go down for a career, we can get kids prepped for that. And then we can get them out into a youth apprenticeship where maybe they get certified as a CNA as a junior in high school, and they're working in a local hospital or nursing home or care facility in order to get some real on-hand job experience going in the afternoon, maybe after they've gone through the morning classes at their high school schedule. And those count for credit, but they also get the kid paid. And it also enlivens that idea of getting them apprenticeships. I guess I don't know what else to call it, but hands on deck with a career so that our businesses feel like we've still got kids feeding into their systems, but we also then can make a good decision as they do post-secondary. They might want to go into the nursing field at a four-year school. They might want to go to Southwest Tech for a nursing field. They might want to go into the service and be a part of the armed forces and be a nurse, or they might just want to stick in that job and go right into the job workforce. But those years in youth apprenticeship really help us push them forward in a directed way that helps them keep focused. So that's another part of the calendar. It's really a big part of it. Again, guaranteed, your kids are still getting the required minutes in there. People wonder why we pick Wednesdays. Why did you pick Wednesday? Well, it's kind of nice in the middle of the week to make sure that everybody's gotten midweek and we take time off and we cruise into some big meetings on Wednesday afternoons for our staff. Just a shout out to families that say, well, I work until 3:30. I pick up my kid at 3:30. What am I going to do from 2 to 3:30? We will give your child care. We'll have after-school programming every Wednesday next year for your child from 2 to 3:30 so that is still part of their day. We'll do that free of charge. But we do want you to know that then the bus routes would go at 2 o'clock, not at 3:30. The bus route goes at 2 o'clock. So if you need public transportation, that's going to happen at 2 o'clock. We'll keep your kid if you need us to, and then you would have to come pick them up at 3:30. But we've given all that kind of information out to our parents. We've got that calendar set. Those both have been approved by our school board. So we're moving ahead with it, and I just wanted to make sure I said it out loud. There'll probably be some grandmas and grandpas and aunts and uncles that'll be called upon next Wednesdays next year, and they're going to wonder why, and I wanted to make sure I gave it a plug and made sure I was informing everybody around us.
And the rest of the school year, does it start the same time after Labor Day then?
It does. It really does start. Our first school days will be, I believe, Labor Day's on the 1st. So our first day with students in the 25-26 school year will be September 2nd. And that's when we just get everybody up and running. So September 2nd, 2025, it'll be an exciting time. And then we'll take that first week to get through stuff. And then we'll jump into early release Wednesdays starting next year. And we're excited about the opportunities as staff to really have time to collaborate. When parents have asked, hey, why are you doing this? Like, come on, like that's going to be hard on us. I just need them to know it's not without great purpose that we do it. It's not without us really thinking hard about it. We're going to be working in teams and continuing to collaborate, but we're collaborating about your kid. We're looking at your kid's data. We're looking at teaching practices to really inspire your kid. So it's really intentful to make sure that we're doing the best for you and your student and making sure that kids are all achieving. So it's really important to us, and it's important to you too. It may be a little inconvenient sometimes in your schedules, but it's what's really something that's best practice that we're seeing in education. And it's not something that River Valley just started. If you're on the radio, you know that Richland Center is already doing this, right? If you're out there, you're listening, Fenimore, Ithaca, Mineral Point, Pecatonica, Platteville, Potosi, Cuba, Boscobel, they all have early release schedules too. It's not like it's just centralized around our district. It's something that really allows that the professional education staff get time to push kids ahead and really keep classrooms full of exciting but also rigorous content.
The last time you were here, Lauren, you alluded to the fact that you'd be looking at a referendum probably in the spring. Can you give us any update on that?
The update on River Valley's referendum would be that there is one coming. It will be April 1st, I believe. April Fool's Day, if that's not interesting. But yeah, April 1st will be the election date in our spring. Many districts that have gone to referendum will either go in the fall or the spring. This will be an operational referendum. Again, this is just to pay for operations. That's why it's called operational. It's to keep the programming and the courses that we have continuing. It's really about keeping everything flowing. And that's what I would say most rural school districts have had to go to keep things up and running. You saw in Richland, they had an operational this last year. All the districts around us are running on operational. So in the southwestern portion of Wisconsin, where you have lots of land but fewer children, it's a way to keep the same programming moving ahead. I could go into a lot of state funding stuff, and I actually am going to bring Brian Cry to the radio station with me coming up this spring so he can kind of give you the best financial background about the politics of school funding. But just off the top of my head, I'll just share there will be an operational referendum in River Valley in April. And it's important for us. We will make sure that the families understand what programming that will be there for their kids and what will continue. It's also important to note that we continue to right size as our student population numbers go down. So again, if somebody's saying, well, if you'd cut more, if you just cut more, you wouldn't need this. There's no way we could cut enough to get what we need. And that's why districts come out to operational referendum. A teacher's worth, by the time you take their salary and you put everything together in their benefits, it's right around $80,000. Most districts are asking for millions of dollars to keep the schools funded. So it's not about a couple positions, though we will right size and make sure we are cutting positions as we can. It's about keeping programming and things running for rural education. And I think it's a worthy cause. It's definitely something that I believe in, and I wouldn't be out here in rural America if I didn't believe in it. So it's just part of what we do. And it's again, something that River Valley has had success with before with operational referenda. And we continue to make sure we're informing our communities as it comes closer to spring.
Were there some things, some data that you looked at from this past referendum, this past spring? Have you learned anything since that time?
Yeah. I mean, we had a capital referendum this last spring where we were really trying to kind of redo some things for safety and security, some ADA compliance things to redo some bathrooms to get some plumbing updated and all those. Those were capital, meaning that's for remodeling. That's for buildings. What we have found, I guess, and maybe this is a blessing in disguise, is if a district passes capital, the next time they go to operational, there's a very slim chance that it will pass. So I tried to tell everybody when I was advertising about the capital, hey, yes, we're going to have this capital referendum, but don't forget, I'm going to be coming back in the spring of 25, and we're going to have operational referenda. And they said, well, no, the capital should take care of it all, right? And I said, no. The capital is to replace a roof, to fix windows, to get new doors, to make sure that those things are truly architectural. The operational is to pay for the electricity, the water, the teachers, all the stuff that goes inside those wonderful buildings. And I guess the trends that we see across the state of Wisconsin is if your community supports capital, then they're tapped. They're kind of tapped out and they don't have the money for operational. So maybe a blessing in disguise. People saved their dollars so that they could help support us in an operational format. And so I guess we always learn every time we get any information back from an operational or a capital referendum on what our community thinks of our school district. Lots of people gave me feedback in surveys saying, you do good work. Thank you so much. But I just can't afford it at this time because I know that you're going to be coming back and needing more operational funding in the future. So I think we're listening to that. We'll make sure that we educate our community on what we have slimmed down on and how we will use the funding if it's approved in April.
There wasn't a consideration of capital and operation together for this one?
Nope. Even though I think we had a really good response on our capital, I think what I heard more than anything is live within your means, right? So if we get an operational to pass, within that is going to be some of our maintenance budget. If they, I think our communities are feeling, if you need to update, do it within the maintenance costs that you have within your budget, rather than having another referendum. So we'll have to do it from within, I guess is what I would say. You will not see me here advertising a capital referendum for River Valley anytime soon.
Okay. Well, and the school board meets this week, right? So
they
they'll probably be figuring out a little bit more about that.
Yeah, they will. There's a lot of things that go into consideration where we're thinking about this operational referendum for River Valley, the number of buildings that we have open, the number of things that we offer. So we will continue to cut. One of the things that will be discussed is the future of the satellite school, I call it, up in Plain, Wisconsin. We still have a little school open in another community, and there's a lot of funding that goes to the transportation and the upkeep of that building, and we're looking at ways to possibly consolidate even further. And I think that will make our community happy. They'll know that we're trying to really get down to what works for River Valley on one campus. So we're working really hard on the ideas of that consolidation, and I think you'll hear more about that after the meeting on Thursday, for sure. It's gone through one committee. It'll go to, but we have a budget employee relations committee meeting tonight at River Valley, so we'll talk about it again there, and then we'll be making some decisions even this coming Thursday about some of those satellite spaces, but also where the funding is kind of going to be going. And I would say the next few months within December, January, February, you're going to be hearing a lot about finances, because you have to set kind of what amount of money is going to be on any kind of ballot for April before January. So you're going to hear me come back in December and January with some numbers, because by law we have to. So we'll be back. We'll come in December and we'll make sure that we update the entire region on what we need.
Not scare tactics. We've heard from some districts where they were turned down, and they really now are taking hard looks at trying to get, you know, having to cut things.
Yeah, basically. We do. And I get it. I mean, I live in the same land. I don't have, you know, just a pocket full of money spilling out as I walk everywhere I go. So I get it. I get it. And we're trying to listen to our constituents. We're trying to listen to our taxpayers. I want every person that's retired, every person that's got kids, and everybody that lives in our communities to be reaching out to the district and asking the questions so that they stay informed. You're going to hear a lot of people say that their tax bills went up around the area. And I guess I implore them, I really want them to be encouraged to look at your tax bill. Your municipalities get reevaluated for property value. That happened a lot in the River Valley area. Our tax portion, the River Valley School District's tax portion of the bill, didn't go up. But many people got reassessed, so their tax bill might go up, but it's not my part from the school district. So I just really want people to look at their bills really carefully. When you get that tax bill, if you need help reading it, walk right into the district office and we'll help you get through that, because there's a lot of things that happen on that bill that happen in your municipality that didn't come from the district. And I hope everybody continues to analyze that so they don't think property taxes are solely the responsibility of your school district. Whether it's Riverdale, Richland Center, Ithaca, Weston, me, wherever it is, take a look at your tax bill. Sometimes it might be from their district, but oftentimes it's coming from a reevaluation that is happening in your municipality.
I believe you and I are both in Buena Vista, right?
We are,
and
yes.
We saw a little bit of an increase
this year. We did see that. Buena Vista is one of the areas that went up the most. In our district area, there were some that actually went down in the River Valley School District based on evaluation. So you have to really read into that. And again, just give us a call. We'll help you walk through any of those questions that you have.
The school will be letting out in a couple of weeks already for Christmas break. Oh, I can't believe that.
It's so exciting. The only thing I can hope for, and I know there are people that will kind of roll their eyes at me, but I just want a white Christmas. I truly believe in a white Christmas. I love what it looks like. So I guess that's just the old nostalgic side of me that really would like to have a white Christmas, so that as we travel back and forth between our aunts and uncles and grandmas and grandpas and go to friends' homes, that we see those beautiful snowflakes fall. So we're excited about a white Christmas. But between then and the next time I visit, the other thing that's going to hit us hard, I think more than anything, is kids are starting to get sick.
Yes.
And so I want everybody to be well as we head into Christmas too. So as we head into Christmas and we think about all the great things that happen in a holiday break, I want everybody to know that, if your kid is sick, keep them at home, or, you know, don't send them, because then it just becomes something that really could spread to a lot of children and kind of really hurt a lot of people. So I guess it's best to stay home. If your temperature is higher than 100, you got a persistent cough, you know, the fun stuff about throwing up or diarrhea, crusty eyes, all that stuff. Talk to your doctor. Stay at home for that stuff. But if it's just a runny nose or they're running a low-grade temp and it's under a 100, we're more than happy to take them, right? That's not the point. But if they are truly ill, don't turn it into a super spreader, because your beautiful school districts end up being bacteria cesspools a little bit. And so we want to keep everybody protected, from our staff to our students to our families, because, we want everybody to enjoy the holidays and we don't want everybody sick. So, yes, the school holiday is coming up. We have 2 more weeks. Most districts around us will be done on the 20th, which is a Friday. So that Friday, many people are planning to kind of have their final school days. Then 21, 22 are Saturday, Sunday. 23rd will be the Monday. Christmas is on Wednesday. So there will be a lot of people traveling that next week. And we just love for them to be happy and healthy and into the new year with a smile on their face.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
I think you've had your winter concerts, haven't you?
We have. We have one more middle school winter concert coming up this week at River Valley Middle School. So that'll be coming up this week. But we've already had high school winter concerts and they were beautiful. They put in some religious music. They put in some seasonal music. But they also put in some really classical music, and it's fun to hear the talents of the arts at this time of year. People just love to come. It's been great. We've seen that at the high school, a little bit more coming up at middle school, but I encourage people in their communities, get out there, go to those concerts, go out to those venues. I think on the radio you talked this morning, I think Ithaca's is coming up maybe tonight or tomorrow.
Yes.
There you go. So hey, if you're up in the Ithaca land, you should get out to your winter concert. You really should, because it's when you get to really feature the hard work of educators transferring that great knowledge of music, whether it's through the voice or through the instrument, into a child. And I think that's really important to be a part of. So head on out, get out to a winter concert and really enjoy what your schools have to offer.
Yeah, I think community support is important. You know, we think about it a lot with athletics, but yes, very important for the music concerts and all
absolutely
those things as
well. Absolutely. Get out there and support those kids. You're going to hear more about how our children are our future. Right. And I truly believe that as the population numbers go down, we want Wisconsin kids to stay in Wisconsin. We want our businesses and our local entities to still grow and flourish. And to do that, we have to have encouraging academic and wonderful school settings. So in order to do that, we need your support. And so get out there and celebrate with us during these wonderful concert seasons, but also believe that what we're doing in your rural schools is getting them ready to be a part of your community. And we're excited about that, but that we need your support.
Lauren, always a pleasure to have you in the studio.
Thank you, Phil. I love being here. Happy holidays to everybody. Merry Christmas. We're excited to be around this seasonal area. And again, let's just cross our fingers for a beautiful snowstorm at some point before the Christmas morning.
Well, after you get out the 20th, you said?
Yes, sir.
So the 21st, 22nd, sure. 23rd, somewhere in there it can snow.
I think 5 p.m. on the 20th would be the perfect time for about a foot of snow. I love that.
Sounds good, Lauren. Thank you. We'll see you in 2025. Then.
Sounds great.
Lauren Glassbrenner, District Administrator for River Valley on today's morning show.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance specialist for university housing, he knows college students can major in wear and tear. Plus, housing so many students doesn't leave a lot of room to house all the supplies he needs. That's where Grainger comes in. With over 1 million industrial-grade products and fast, dependable delivery, Grainger carries the quality products he needs so he doesn't have to. From a new door hinge to a whole new faucet. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This holiday season, let your business grow with WRCO Radio, the place to go. Affordable rates and results that are clear. We'll connect you to customers far and near. With Henry, your ads will delight. He'll make them sparkle like holiday lights. Promote your sales, events, or cheer, and wrap up success to end the year. Call 647-2111 today. It's your time. Let Henry make your business shine.
Winter is here and it's cold outside. Hello everyone, it's Brian from Walsh's. To help you keep warm this winter, we have many different types of LP and kerosene heaters. We carry LP tanks from 1 pound up to the big 100 pound tanks. Also, if you already have a tank, stop in and we'd be more than happy to fill it for you. We also carry 2.5 gallon jugs of kerosene also. So please stop in to Richland Center, Muscadet, or Ace of La Crosse. And as usual, we appreciate your business.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Experience the ultimate in snow removal with Cub Cadet snowblowers from McFarland's. Engineered for performance and durability, Cub Cadet snowblowers are designed to make your winter easier. With a wide range of models to choose from, you can find the perfect snowblower to fit your lifestyle. Visit McFarland's Retail and Service Center in Sauk City and discover the Cub Cadet difference.
On the seventh day of Christmas, Court & Main gave to me, buy one, get one 50% off all Times Fraser Fir candles. Valid only today. Watch out for tomorrow's daily deal.
Richland County Bank in downtown Richland Center has been a partner in creating opportunities for local people and businesses since 1881. That's a lot of different loans for a lot of different people in a lot of different circumstances, but all decided the same way. By local people at your local hometown independent bank, the Richland County Bank. See what a local bank can do for you. Richland County Bank, downtown Richland Center. Member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
See the new Buick Envista at your local Buick dealer, Sleepy Hollow. The new Buick Envista crossover, a great car with great fuel economy at a great price. Starting only $23,990 and in stock now at Sleepy Hollow in Viroqua. Buick Enclave, Buick Envision, Buick Encore GX, and the all-new Buick Envista. At Sleepy Hollow Chevrolet Buick GMC, now your new local Buick dealer on Viroqua's north side.
Sleepy Hollow.
Burnham Lumber of Rui wishes you and your family happy holidays. They would like to remind you that it's not too late to sign up for your winter project. Burnham's has crews willing to work through the winter and an auger that will dig through the frozen ground. You get the usual high-quality Burnham service and workmanship at a reduced price when you build in the winter. Keep your animals, equipment, and feed protected this winter in a Burnham building. Call today for a free quote. That's Burnham Lumber of Rui wishing you and your family a safe and happy holiday season.
Ho ho, the holidays are here, and it's time to pick a present from the grown-up gift list with Civic Media's statewide text-to-win contest. Listen while you work for the keywords to text for your chance to win $100 cash, an overnight vacation at Chula Vista Resort, and be entered to win one of the grand prizes, a robot vacuum, new luggage, humidifier,